chapter 13. We'll continue our study. We have a new section of the book that we're moving into, chapters 13 through 23. They'll start off with the burden, like, for example, in chapter 13, the burden against Babylon. And what we're going to look at in these next 10 chapters is the nations around Israel get judged. They've been attacking Israel. They've been a thorn in the side for Israel. And they will ultimately be judged by God. So we have a section here of these nations being judged and how they're going to be judged. So let's ask God to corral us as we study His Word this morning. Father, thank You for Your Word. We ask You to please protect us in that we could study Your Word and see what You wrote and what You intended to communicate, Father. And Lord, that we could not only get that in our minds, but that we could move it that 18 inches into our heart. And Father, store Your Word in our heart and just rejoice in following You. Thank You, Father, in Jesus' name. Isaiah chapter 13, verse 1. The burden against Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amos saw. At this time, who's Babylon to the Israelites? They're just kind of a small nothing. The powerful nation was Assyria. They're the ones that are carrying off the northern tribes of Israel. But we're going to talk about Babylon. Isaiah has this prophecy God placed in his heart, and he's writing it down. Lift up a banner on a high mountain. Raise your voice to them. Wave your hand that they may enter the gates of the nobles. I have commanded my sanctified ones. I have also called my mighty ones for my anger, those who rejoice in my exaltation. The noise of a multitude in the mountains, like that of many people, a tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of nations gathered together. The Lord of hosts musters the army for battle. They come from a far country, from the end of heaven, the Lord and his weapons of indignation, to destroy the whole land. Now, when has this occurred to Babylon, that the many nations have come to destroy it? Hasn't yet. So are we looking at near or far? We're looking at far. We're looking at, especially, a real key. There's two keys as we're studying the book of Isaiah. When he says, in that day, what day is that? It's the day of the Lord. So the tribulation period. Jesus comes back at the end of the tribulation period. So when he says, in that day, we know the time period he's talking about. Another one is, in my indignation. It's when he's judging the earth in that tribulation period. So as he says here, the Lord is mustering the army. They're coming from a far country, from all over the place. Verse 5, the Lord and his weapons of indignation to destroy the whole land. We're talking about the tribulation period. Now I want to flip over to, keep your finger in Isaiah, but flip over to Revelation. And we're going to go to chapter 17. Chapters 17 and 18, if you look at them, we have a reference to the religious Babylon and we have a reference to the financial Babylon. And they both fall in these two chapters. They're both destroyed in these two chapters. And your extra credit homework is to read these two chapters. In fact, you can start at chapter 16, verse 17, and read about Babylon and how Babylon falls. Now, if you think back in the Old Testament, we have the Tower of Babel. Why did they build the Tower of Babel? They wanted to reach God. It came out of the flood. Everyone's sort of living around there near the Tower of Babel, and they want to reach God, so they build this tower, and God confuses them, gives them different languages because it's the wrong thing to do. Babylon, throughout the Bible, is known as the where all the false religions came from, all the pagan religions came from. And we see in the book of Revelation, false religions, pagan religions, are judged. We have Babylon as a religious system, and then we also have Babylon as a financial system. Chapter 17, religious system. Chapter 18, the financial system. So here in Isaiah, we're looking at how Babylon is judged and wiped out in Revelation chapter 17 and 18. They go together. So we can find more information about the book of Revelation by looking at Isaiah. So here we have these armies coming from all over the world. Nations gathered, and God's gathering them. They're his tool to destroy the whole land. Verse 6 of chapter 13 in Isaiah. Wail, why? For the day of the Lord is at hand. Tribulation period. It will come as destruction from the Almighty. Therefore, all hands will be limp, every man's heart will melt, and they will be afraid. Pangs and sorrows will take hold of them. They will be in pain as a woman in childbirth. They will be amazed at one another. Their faces will be like flames. Remember men's hearts melting in the book of Revelation? They want the mountains to fall upon them. Hide me from the face of Jesus. They realize it's the end time. Verse 9, behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel with both wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he will destroy its sinners from it. For the stars of heaven and their constellations will not give their light. The sun will be darkened in its going forth, and the moon will not cause its light to shine. Have you heard that before? Let's flip over to Matthew 24. Matthew 24, verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. And we look back in chapter 11 of Isaiah, that elect are the Jews. Let's also look at Revelation chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 12. I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth, as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? Pretty gruesome, isn't it? Now, as we've gone through history, there have been terrible times. There have been people that we really believe should be judged. And haven't we often said, why, Lord? Why are those people continuing? They need to be judged. There needs to be vengeance taken upon them. And vengeance belongs to who? The Lord's. The Lord is waiting and waiting until this tribulation period, and that's when he takes vengeance. Remember, people that have died, their souls are still alive. God will take vengeance at the end. God will judge righteously at the end. Righteously, there are some that require incredible judgment upon them. And we should have judgment upon us, but God has already judged believers. When did he do that? On the cross. That's right. Judgment was on the cross for our sins, and now as we stand before the Lord, he goes, hey, you have my son's righteousness. Come on in. But the others that have rejected Christ will sit under God's judgment, and like these people that say, let the mountains fall on me, because they're afraid of that judgment. They'd rather have rocks crush them than face God's judgment. So that's what's occurring here as we're reading in Isaiah. Let's pick it back up. We can review verse 9. Behold, the day of the Lord comes cruel with both wrath and fierce anger to lay the land desolate. Who's this wrath and fierce anger upon? He will destroy its sinners from it. And then verse 10, he talks about the stars of heaven falling. What do you think that's going to be like? You know, I really don't know. All the stars falling from heaven, is it because we can't see them? Is it going to be incredible meteorite or asteroid showers upon the earth? The earth is going to be shaken. We're going to have earthquakes. Islands disappear. Mountains fall down. Boy, it's going to be a geological event as such as never happened before. Don't know quite what to picture. Verse 11, I will punish the world for its evil and the wicked for the iniquity. I will halt the arrogance of the proud and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. So we have final judgment going on here. This is during the tribulation period. Now I want to flip over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm in verse 9. Now chapter 5, he talks about the day of the Lord, what it's going to be like. And in verse 9, he says, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you analyze the structure of that sentence, it's pretty clear. Number one, we're not appointed to wrath. Number two, we're appointed to salvation. We're to be saved from this wrath. And our salvation comes through, number three, Jesus. We believe in Jesus. We receive his salvation. We miss out on the wrath of God. Now, if we flip back to chapter 13, verse 11 of Isaiah, this is God's wrath being poured out. Are we going to be a part of that? No. That's a strong argument that Christians do not go through the tribulation period, as you see up behind me on the chart. Well, what happens to us? We're raptured. That's what the rapture is about. You can also read about that in Thessalonians. In the twinkling of an eye, we'll be caught up. The church is taken out of the way. God focuses again on Israel during the seven-year tribulation period. If we look at the prophecy in the book of Daniel, where there's 77-year periods, and then it was explained to Daniel, there's going to be 69 of those seven-year periods until the Messiah. Then he'll be cut off. There's one more seven-year period where God is focusing on Israel. He focused on Israel for 69 of those seven-year periods, which is 483, I believe. And then the Messiah comes, and his attention, as it says in Paul in Romans, says God's attention has moved away from Israel to another nation to make Israel jealous. It's moved away to the church age, to all of us. God is working in the church age, but then the church will be taken out. We go to heaven with God through the rapture, and he focuses on Israel again, and he executes his judgment. Verse 12 of chapter 13. I will make a mortal more rare than fine gold, a man more than the golden wedge of Ophir. When we read the book of Revelation, in chapter 6, verse 7, a quarter of the population die by sword, hunger, death, and wild beasts. Imagine that, a quarter of the people on earth during this tribulation period, during this wrath of God. And then we have in chapter 8, one-third of the waters are struck. You know, the one about wormwood. So we have a quarter of the population killed. And then Revelation chapter 9, verse 18, by the 200 million army, it says one-third of the population, one-third of that remaining population are killed. So we first lose a quarter of the people, and then we lose another third of the people. Man is beginning to get scarce. A lot of deaths. And he says, I will make a mortal more rare than fine gold. It's hard to go out and find gold. It's going to be hard to go out and find a man. Verse 13, therefore, I will shake the heavens, and the earth will move out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts, and in, when? The day of his fierce anger. So we're in the tribulation period. And if you look a few chapters to the right, in fact, we can do it. It's pretty close. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 24. And this is another one you can read as homework. But I want to look at verse 20. Now let's start at 19. Chapter 24, verse 19. The earth is violently broken. The earth is split open. The earth is shaken exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall totter like a hut. Its transgression shall be heavy upon it, and it will fall and not rise again. So the earth is going to reel to and fro like a drunkard. Well, how does a drunkard walk? So the earth is going to be wobbling and reeling to and fro. Now, there's many that believe that earlier in history that the earth was not tilted on its axis. It was straight up and down. And for that reason, you know, they found mammoths in the North Pole. And they're frozen. They had flowers in their mouth and they had ferns in their stomach. This mammoth was frozen instantly. When they found it, the guys cooked it and ate some of the meat. Yeah, an old mammoth on the north, up in the Arctic. Ferns growing in the Arctic. How could that be? Well, if the earth is not tilted on its axis, we don't have summer and winter. We have an even temperature. Well, if the earth is going to go back to what it was like in the garden during the millennial reign, could be that the earth tilts back into being straight up and down. No more tilt, no more summer and winter. Sorry, skiers. Yeah, Jennifer's pouting. But as Jesus reigns on the earth, we have that perfect situation returning. We have the wolf lying down with the lamb. We learned that last week. It's not the lion. Who's the lion lie down with? It's the calf. That's right. And they're eating the grass. They're not devouring each other anymore. The environment is returning to what it was intended to be like. And it could be that as this earth is reeling during the tribulation period, that God is going through the process of taking it back to the way it should be. But during the tribulation, during that judgment period, men are rare. The earth is shaken. The heavens and the earth are moved out of their place. And in verse 13, in the wrath of the Lord of hosts and in the day of his fierce anger. Then verse 14, it shall be as the hunted gazelle and as a sheep that no man takes up. Every man will turn to his own people and everyone will flee to his own land. And then we jump to the near. We've been looking at the far, the millennial period or the tribulation period. Everyone who is found will be thrust through. We're in the near now. And everyone who is captured will fall by the sword. Their children also will be dashed to pieces before their eyes. The houses will be plundered and their wives ravished. Behold, I will stir up the Medes against them. Who are the Medes? King Nebuchadnezzar rose as the king of Babylon. And he came and took Israel captive. God said ahead of time, that's what's going to happen. But then God gave King Nebuchadnezzar this dream, this statue that shows the major kingdoms of the world. And we've got the head of gold and then the shoulders of silver was the Medo-Persian Empire. And they came and they wiped out Babylon and ruled the world. So, as we're reading Isaiah in verse 17, behold, I will stir up the Medes against them. Right now, the Medes were just nomads. Stir up the Medes against them who will not regard silver. And as for gold, they will not delight in it. Also their bows will dash the young men to pieces, and they will have no pity on the fruit of the womb. Their eye will not spare children. And Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldeans' pride, by the way, Babylon is Iraq, modern-day Iraq, will be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. Wow, they're going to be wiped out. It will never be inhabited, nor will it be settled from generation to generation, nor will the Arabian pitch tents there, nor will the shepherds make their sheepfolds there. But wild beasts of the desert will lie there, and their houses will be full of owls. Ostriches will dwell there, and wild goats will caper there. The hyenas will howl in their citadels, and jackals in their pleasant places. Her time is near to come, and her days will not be prolonged. They have found the ruins of the city of Babylon. And guess what's there? Nothing. Since they were destroyed by the Medo-Persian Empire, the city is just nothing. You go there, and there's going to be an owl or a jackal or, you know, wild animals living there. There's just the ruins. And they're excavating and trying to, you know, they found the gates and they put the gates on display in museums. But the city was destroyed and never rebuilt. How many of you know of a Babylonian? Have you ever met one? No. Someone from Iraq. Verse chapter 14. We're going to go back to the far. For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob and will still choose Israel and settle them in their own land. So Israel's restored. The strangers will be joined with them, and they will cling to the house of Jacob. Then people will take them and bring them to their place, and the house of Israel will possess them for servants and maids in the land of the Lord. They will take them captive, whose captives they were, and rule over their oppressors. It shall come to pass in the day the Lord gives you rest from your sorrow and from your fear and hard bondage in which you were made to serve, that you will take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, "How the oppressor has ceased, the golden city ceased. The Lord has broken the staff of the wicked, the scepter of the rulers. He who struck the people in wrath with a continual stroke, he who ruled the nations in anger, is persecuted and no one hinders." Now remember, we have in Revelation two systems for Babylon. We have the religious system and we have the financial system. And here in 4b, the oppressor has ceased. The golden city ceased. This religious system has been wiped out. You can take a look at Revelation chapter 14, verse 8 as extra homework. The Lord has broken the staff of the wicked, the scepter of the rulers. He's broken Babylon, who's been ruling over with religious systems and false pagan rulers. He who struck the people in wrath with a continual stroke, he who ruled the nations in anger. And who's fighting to protect Babylon, who's getting destroyed? Nobody. It persecuted and no one hinders. Now, who's the power behind Babylon? Behind these false religious systems? Who thought of them? I hear whispers. Speak up, you guys. Say, this is like a home Bible study. We can speak up. Yeah, Satan. Satan's the power. And we're going to look at Satan being judged here as the rest of this chapter. First off, in verse 7, as Satan gets wiped out, the whole earth is at rest and quiet. They break forth into singing. Indeed, the cypress trees rejoice over you, and the cedars of Lebanon saying, "Since you were cut down, no woodsman has come up against us." Verse 9, hell from beneath is excited about you to meet you at your coming. It stirs up the dead for you. All the chief ones of the earth it has raised up from their thrones. All the kings of the nations, they all shall speak and say to you, "Have you also become as weak as we? Have you become like us? Your pomp is brought down to Sheol, and the sound of your stringed instruments, the maggot is spread under you, and worms cover you." The earth is jazzed as Satan is being wiped out. If you study the book of Revelation, at Jesus' second coming, all the nations are fighting in the battle of Armageddon, and all this pride, and they're trying to take over and win, and Jesus comes, and poof, they're wiped out. Then Satan is bound, if you read in Revelation, Satan is bound for 1,000 years. He's thrown into Hades for 1,000 years, chained up, he can't come out, and we have the 1,000 years reign of peace. And the Bible says that he must be let loose again for a time. And he, right at the very end, he's let loose and tries to war against Christ. But Jesus, if he just speaks, you know, "Let there be light," pff, there's light. And Satan comes and tries to war against him, and he goes, "You're done," pff, and he's done. He's wiped out. And then he's thrown into the abyss. He's done. He's gone. He's thrown into what we would think of as hell, not in the temporary holding place, in the permanent holding place. Verse 12. In Isaiah, "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, 'I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High.' Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit." Now we've got, how many? Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 I wills here. Satan fell from heaven. Satan thought up the idea of rebelling against God. And let's look at his heart and what he did. "I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation." I'm going to have people worshiping me. "On the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. What a prideful attitude of heart. That's why he got kicked out of heaven. And if you think of the Garden of Eden, when he tempted Eve, how did he tempt her? Can't you eat of any fruit? Well, God said anything except for this tree. If I eat of this tree, I'll die. Oh, you won't die. You won't really die. He's lying to her. See, if you eat of this fruit, you'll be like God. He just doesn't want you to be like him. You'll be like God. And if we look at verse 14b, I will be like the Most High. That was one of the temptations for Eve. We still see that in many religions today. You look at the false religions, there seems to be one thing in common, that we can be like God. That's a real good indicator that they're nuts. Because they're following who? The first sin here. They're following Satan. Instead, we need to be thinking, I fall short. I'm not God. And I fall short of even being like God. I need a Savior. Okay, here he is. I provided him for you. Thank you. And then out of appreciation, we begin to try to behave like God, knowing that we fall short. So here we have the reason Satan fell and was kicked out of heaven. And other places that we look at in the Bible, we find that a third of the angels fell with him. Those are the demons that we see as we go through the New Testament. We see Jesus casting out demons. So we have this heavenly host. Satan went sideways. We believe he was a cherub, one of the most powerful angels. Lucifer means angel of light. He was beautiful, but he was prideful, and out of heaven you go with a third of the angels. Verse 16, those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed its cities, who did not open the house of his prisoners? Is this him? Wow. Boy, when you're down there in Sheol, you kind of look wimpy, buddy. Here on the earth, he's fierce. But when we see him down there, we're going to go, that's him? That's the guy? Verse 18, all the kings of the nations and all of them sleep in glory, everyone in his own house, but you are cast out of your grave. Like an abominable branch, like the garment of those who are slain, thrust through with the sword, who go down to the stones of the pit, like a corpse trodden underfoot, you will not be joined with them in burial, because you have destroyed your land. Buddy, when you get buried, you're not even going to have a grave. These guys, they die or they've been killed, but they have a grave and people can look and still honor them. You're not even going to have a grave, Satan. You're going to be just tossed. Verse 20. You will not be joined with them in burial because you have destroyed your land and slain your people. The brood of evildoers shall never be named. Prepare slaughter for his children because of the iniquity of their fathers, lest they rise up and possess the land and fill the face of the world with cities. Verse 22. For I will rise up against them, says the Lord of hosts, and cut off from Babylon the name and remnant, and offspring and posterity, says the Lord. I will make it a possession for the porcupine and marshes of muddy water. He's talking about how Babylon's destroyed again here now. I will sweep it with the broom of destruction, says the Lord of hosts. Now he's going to move over to Assyria. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so it shall come to pass, and as I have purposed, so it shall stand. Oh my. If God says something, is he going to do it? Absolutely. Well, what about if God swears that he will do it? Yeah, hello. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so it shall come to pass. So everything we've read is going to happen. And as I have purposed, so it shall stand. That I will break the Assyrian in my land, and on my mountains tread him underfoot. Then his yoke shall be removed from them, and his burden removed from their shoulders. This is the purpose that is purposed against the whole earth, and this is the hand that is stretched out over all the nations. For the Lord of hosts has purposed, and who will annul it? His hand is stretched out, and who will turn it back? Then we look at Philistia, which would have been in the southern portions of Israel. That's where the Philistines settled. That's where King David fought with them. What verse was I in? 28. Thank you. This is the burden which came in the year that King Ahaz died. Now we're talking about the near. Do not rejoice, all of you Philistia, because the rod that struck you is broken. For out of the serpent's roots will come forth a viper, and its offspring will be a fiery flying serpent. Assyria took over the land, including the land of Philistia. And so when Assyria gets wiped out by God, by the Babylonians, they're going to begin to go, cool, and rejoice. And what he's saying here is, don't rejoice, because King Nebuchadnezzar is going to take you over as well. Verse 30, the firstborn of the poor will feed, and the needy will lie down in safety. I will kill your roots with famine, and it will slay your remnant. Wail, O gate, cry, O city, all of you of Philistia are dissolved, for smoke will come from the north, and no one will be alone in his appointed times. What will they answer, the messengers of the nation, that the Lord has founded Zion?